Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Maize and Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am Luke Yardy, joined by Scotty White here with you Monday, December 13th as we head into Tuesday, December 14th. And we've got a little bit to talk about here. You know, there's a bit of a lull, obviously, in the football season, but we did come off the Heisman ceremony, Aiden Hutchinson finishing rather high. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Michigan basketball struggling a little bit as well. So let's get on into it. Scotty White, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Doing great. It's definitely weird not having a football game to talk about, but we do got to touch on Aiden Hutchinson coming in second place. I'm excited to talk about Michigan basketball too. I have not been excited to watch them because they haven't looked great, which has been surprising. But I'm definitely interested to hear your perspective on things.
For sure. So let's start with the Heisman ceremony on Saturday and Aiden Hutchinson. Obviously, Bryce Young ran away with the award, quarterback for Alabama. I think everyone expected him to win. However, even though he did run away, Aiden Hutchinson coming in second most first place votes to Bryce Young. And while he didn't really threaten Bryce Young to win the award, the fact that he did finish second, I believe the highest defensive player finish since Charles Woodson took it home in 1997, man. I thought that was pretty cool to see. Like, we knew the entire thing was for Bryce Young. Obviously, Bryce Young was going to run away with this award. But to see Aiden finish second, man, I felt good about it. I think it was really cool that he even got as many first-place votes as he did. How about you? How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. I was I thought Aiden Hutchinson definitely was – the most influential player in college football this year, had the most impact on the games. So wasn't too surprised to see him up at second. It's crazy to think. I mean, Bryce Young, I think going into this, especially after his performance against Georgia, the drive against Auburn to tie the game, I think everybody knew he was going to win, but it is crazy to think if maybe they had lost that Auburn game, or if Georgia played a little bit better on defense against them, that could have been Aiden Hutchinson's Heisman to win.
Yeah, so let me ask. I do want to ask you about that as well, because what if Tank Bigsby just stays in bounds in the Iron Bowl? If he doesn't run out of bounds, you know, and Bryce Young doesn't get to have the performance against Georgia in the number one defense that he did. Are we talking about Aiden Hutchinson taking home the Heisman? Does it shake out a little bit differently? I don't know that you could have gave it to C.J. Stroud in that scenario. Do they still give it to Bryce Young? Is it just a little bit closer? These are a couple of things that, you know, I've considered. I do think Aiden would have had a great shot to win the Heisman if Bigsby does just stay in bounds. I'm not 100% sold that it still wouldn't have been Bryce Young, given the body of work that he had here this year, but it would have been a lot closer for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's tough because he did win by a pretty wide margin, but things definitely would have been closer if they had lost that game to Auburn. Another thing that I look at too, I agree with you. I don't really think that they could have given it to Stroud after Aiden Hutchinson's performance against Ohio State, you know, getting his team the Big Ten championship. But I like to think about this play in the Ohio State game. This would have been an insane Heisman moment for Hutch. I think it was a fourth down for Ohio State in the fourth quarter that they scored a touchdown on. And it was a little pass that went right over Hutchinson's hand. And I just imagine if he had been a couple inches taller, gotten a pick on that and returned it, that would have been something insane.
For sure, man. And I wonder, even for like the stat watchers out there, what if the touchdown against Michigan State doesn't get turned over, you know? Yeah, like, just a few of the plays, man. If we look at it from a perspective of what the award is supposed to be, the most outstanding player in college football, I'm not convinced Bryce Young was the most outstanding player for Alabama here this year. I actually think it was Will Anderson, you know, and I think Will Anderson very much had a case to be a Heisman finalist as well. But, you know, I don't think anyone, I think you mentioned it, man, I don't know if anyone had more of an impact every single game than Aiden Hutchinson did.
Yeah, exactly. And that to me is just what made him so special. And that's the type of player that I would want to have on my favorite college football team. But I mean, can't deny that Bryce Young, you know, he's deserving. He's had an incredible season. And you know, they're still in the playoffs. So he has even more to prove now. But yeah, I mean, I'm extremely happy for Hutch getting that second place. I think that's awesome.
And look, at the end of the day, man, it's there is bias towards the quarterback position. You know, like it's always going to be that way. It is, and more so with the NFL MVP, I get it, because the quarterback position is far and away the most valuable position in all of sports. There's no denying that. But this is not an MVP award. It's a most outstanding football player award. Right. And when it comes to that, I think Aiden Hutchinson has a really strong case and had a really strong case.
Yeah, it definitely shows the type of bias. There's, like you said, it's most outstanding football player. We're not talking about specifically offense or defense, and it just, you rarely see these defensive players going to the Heisman to the Heisman ceremony, and oftentimes some of the best football players in the league or in college are defensive players, and they just don't get the same type of love.
For sure, man. And quite honestly, for Aiden Hutchinson to finish second, like it's kind of a win, you know, in my book, in that sense, knowing that it's so QB, you know, geared toward. So obviously he doesn't take home the Heisman, but to see him finish second was pretty cool, knowing that if it wasn't geared so much towards quarterbacks, everyone kind of knew how impactful and how outstanding Aiden Hutchinson has been this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and it's so much more impressive too, and to see that he beat out two other quarterbacks that were there.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like I thought he should have finished first, but I didn't think that he was going to be the one that finished second. So I was surprised and really happy to see that he was above the two other quarterbacks there.
Well, he's got a chance to, you know, hopefully on January 11th, go show the world that, you know, that he should have won it over the Heisman Trophy winner. They got to get through a pretty tough Georgia team to get there. And we'll talk about that, obviously, in a couple of weeks here on Brewcast as we lead up to New Year's Eve. But just a huge congratulations to Aiden Hutchinson. What a leader. What a season, man. What a career at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, could not be more happy for him. And you see him, he's a first-team All-American today, Lott Trophy winner, still bringing in all types of awards. Couldn't be more happy for him. And I cannot wait to see what he's got in store for us in the college football playoff.
And isn't it kind of crazy that he wasn't even a Bednarik Award finalist?
I do not understand that at all. The dude is finishes second place in the Heisman voting as a Heisman, but and they don't pick him up for that. That was absolutely shocking to me.
Yeah, just crazy. And it goes to show, well, I guess everyone's got, you know, a different opinion. And if you're looking at just counting stats, I understand, but if you're looking at just counting stats for, you know, defensive guys, probably, you know, not the best look on your part, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but but a little bit of a disgrace. He definitely should have won the award.
And maybe put a little chip on his shoulder moving forward, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, all of that. I can't wait to see him in the college football playoff, man. That's going to be so fun.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
So from having fun discussion there about Aiden Hutchinson to what's going to turn into a not so fun discussion as we switch gears and take a look at Michigan basketball here. Saturday, I'm not going to lie to you, Scotty, the 75-65 loss at home to Minnesota was one of the worst losses that I've seen, not only since Juwan Howard took over, but since John Beilein really got the program up and running, man.
Yeah, that was bad. I mean, 14-point favorites at home, and to lose by double digits to Minnesota, Minnesota has one loss this year, but if you look at their schedule, you'd see why. And really the only other good team that they've played is Michigan State, and they got rolled at home. So, yeah, that game definitely – I thought after maybe the Nebraska game, Michigan was starting to turn a corner, but that game showed there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, Minnesota was 69th. In KenPom, coming into the game, or they're 69th right now, and like you said, 8-1, but that schedule is just absolutely brutal for Minnesota. They only have one returning scholarship player, Scotty.
Yeah.
It was bad. Like, it's not quite losing to NJIT bad, but this is a Big Ten game at home against a team that you should win, and you can't just give away Big Ten games, especially with the strength of the conference here this year.
Yeah, I mean, home games against bottom, like Minnesota's a bottom tier Big Ten team. Home games against those kind of teams, if they're losing those, it is not going to be a fun season, because you know how tough things get on the road in the Big Ten.
And here's the issue with Michigan is I feel like it's not even necessarily all fixable. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because,
right.
Look, they had a good couple of games against San Diego State and Nebraska. And, hey, they shot the ball well in those games. And if Michigan can shoot the ball well, they're a tough team to beat.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be able to shoot the ball well consistently this year because they don't have enough shooters out there. I think Eli Brooks and Caleb Houston are probably the only two consistently pure shooters that you've got on the entire roster. Terrence Williams showed that he can shoot the ball a little bit against Nebraska, but he only played 6 minutes against Minnesota coming off the big game. Brandon Johns had a big game against Nebraska, plays just 13 minutes against Minnesota. And I don't really know what for, because no one else was really giving you a whole lot out there. You know what I'm saying? Not even defensively. Yeah. And I know Terrence Williams, he had a couple of bad, you know, defensive possessions. He had two fouls, gave up a bucket, but you got to go out there and maybe give him some more minutes, especially he's got to be feeling confident coming off that Nebraska win.
Yeah, definitely. I was really surprised to see that the playing times for them as well. And yeah, it's the defense too. I mean, they were talking after the, I think it was, I can't quite remember who they were playing right now. It was the last home game before Minnesota.
And, San Diego State?
San Diego State. Yeah. Thank you. I was in the press conference after the game, and they were all kind of saying like we want to pride ourselves on defense, you know, kind of have that be one of our best aspects of the game. And that's going to have to be huge for them this year with the lack of shooting. I mean, last year it kind of seemed like Michigan had the perfect recipe. You know, if Hunter Dickinson's not getting double teamed, you give the ball down to him, and he goes to work. And if he is getting double teamed, every other guy on the floor is a shooter. And it seemed like every game, you know, Michigan was consistently shooting well last year. I mean, they had those games against Wisconsin where it's the 40-0 run, you know, that crazy one where it just seemed like they wouldn't miss anything.
Right.
But clearly, yeah, the shooters aren't as present there this year. I mean, Hunter Dickinson right now has the best 3-point shooting percentage on the team, which is something that if you told me a month ago, I would think you were crazy.
Yeah, you think about it, and you had last year, obviously, Isaiah Livers, I mean, before he got here, he was almost a 50% three-point shooter. Yeah. He was one of the best of the Big Ten, if not the best of the Big Ten. Franz, I think he was between, you know, 35 and 40-plus last year. Mike Smith could shoot it. Shondi seemed like he could be automatic if he was left open, particularly from the corners. And this year, with the lack, and then obviously Eli Brooks last year as well, with the lack of that this year, there's no spacing on this team. And particularly, I think, so I don't know if this is too hot takey or anything like that, but I think Musa Diabate and I think Hunter Dickinson play too many minutes on the floor here together, particularly with that lack of shooting. That when those guys are on the court together, there's a noticeable lack of spacing. And, you know, Musa being out against Nebraska highlighted that. Michigan had to play with a little more spacing. They got more open looks. I think there has to be, like, they can play together, but if the majority of the time they're playing together, I think it's a hindrance to Michigan's offense. And I don't even know how much better they are defensively when those two are on the court here together. I mean, they gave up 75 to Minnesota. They could stop Jamison Battle at all. And I don't know, it just feels like they're not doing the little things defensively either. I think that's almost more disappointing to me, Scotty, is the lack of defense on this team. Currently 25th KenPom after starting the year either, I think, first or second in adjusted defense. And they just they can't get stops consistently. They're not, I don't know if they're not working hard enough. I don't know if they're not good enough defensively, but that's what this team, and we saw it in the San Diego State game, they can be a good defensive unit when they want to be. There just seems to be a lack of willpower right now defensively on this Michigan team, because at the end of the day, it's a mindset. They're young. They're still learning. Maybe they're not confident, but it's at times a mess right now, and we saw that in the second half against Minnesota with the way Minnesota was able to go out in the second half and absolutely take it to Michigan, scoring 43 points in that second half.
Yeah, defensive inconsistencies are concerning. I mean, you look back at the national championship run in 2018, with the exception of the Texas A&M game, Michigan did not shoot the ball well in that tournament. And their defense was just so good and willed them to a championship. And I think that's going to be the kind of defense Michigan needs this year. But yeah, like you said, I mean, San Diego State in that half, or that whole game, the defense looked really, really good. The offense looked great against Nebraska. And I noticed the same thing. I was concerned going into that game with Diabate being out. And then, yeah, like you said, so many open looks. Granted, Nebraska is not the best team, but that was, I mean, when you score over 100 points on the road in a Big Ten game, it doesn't really matter who you're playing. Like, that's impressive. A lot of open shots. People were knocking them down. It was great to see. But then they just take a step back on Saturday. We see the flashes. We know that the talent is there. They just got to put it all together and become more consistent. And I think going back to Shondi Brown too, he was so valuable to that team last year. I mean, he was an immediate spark every single game coming off the bench. And that's such a crucial kind of player to have on the team, you know?
And they don't have that. You know, you expect a guy like Terrence Williams to be that. And at times he has been, to his credit, but he's inconsistent with it. You know, Shondi, at the end of the day, he was a defense-first guy. He was going to give you that energy defensively. Mm-hmm. And when a guy comes off the bench and does that, it really does lift everyone up. And I think Eli Brooks kind of alluded to it. You know, I think he kind of was calling out the freshman a little bit when he was talking. He said, it's not high school basketball. The Big Ten is a physical game. He wants to see the defense get a little more physical, have a little more fire, have a little more fight. And that's exactly what they're missing right now, because we see Michigan get out into transition and they're fantastic when they do it. But when they don't, man, I mean, they rank 249th in adjusted tempo, possessions per 40 minutes, according to KenPom. 67 possessions. I mean, they don't play with pace because they're not moving the ball. There's no spacing. Shot clock is getting down. They're having to being forced to take contested shots or feed it into Hunter Dickinson where they can collapse and there's nowhere really to throw it because there's not a good enough spacing. You get bad shots, and when you get open shots like they did in the Minnesota game, you can't hit them either because you don't really have any shooters out there. You know, I think Caleb Houston needs to be a little more consistent. He was 1-for-4 from deep in that game. Eli Brooks was just 2-of-7, but Devontae Jones, man, he's not hitting a three. That wasn't what he was when he came to the Michigan program. He was a guy that was going to play hard-nosed defense, get steals, get layups, get penetration. But even when he gets penetration, who is he throwing it to on the perimeter? You know, there's it's a kind of a mess right now, and the whole roster build is kind of a mess right now. Like, they had the number one recruiting class, you know, in the country because of how these guys were rated, and we had that idea coming into this year, like, oh, Hunter Dickinson and the number one recruiting class in the country and the Sun Belt Player of the Year coming over, you know, and we didn't really stop to think how they would all mesh together, how the roster complemented each other. And right now, through 10 games, sitting at 6-4, they don't really complement each other.
They don't. That is one of the things that it's pretty clear to see, especially on offense. They don't complement each other. And that is very different from these past Michigan teams that we've seen that have had so much success. And yeah, I mean, going back to the inconsistencies, like you said, with Terrence Williams, I mean, that's the most important thing of having a successful team is being consistent. Just not knowing, you know, and for us watching the game, it's very, very, very tough. You never know what to expect right now. But yeah, I mean, like you said, everybody was expecting Hunter Dickinson coming back, Eli Brooks coming back with this number one class. Everybody was expecting huge things. And I think if someone had told me that Michigan basketball and football, there'd be one ranked number two and one be unranked in December. You told me that earlier in the year. I would have thought that the roles would be reversed here.
Yeah, certainly. You know, there are a lot of jokes being made about sacrificing basketball for the football yeah. season here this year. And I don't know, man. The universe isn't allowing us to have too many nice things all at once. You know, hockey is still doing well at Michigan, though. College hockey's a little weird, too. We won't get too much into it, where I feel like teams can get beat on every night. You know, I live in Marquette. On my local show, we cover Northern Michigan hockey. Last week, man, they swept the number one team in the country at the time, Minnesota Duluth, then this weekend got ran off the ice by Lake Superior State. So college hockey is its own animal in that regard, man. So Michigan taking some L's on the ice, you know, not nearly as concerning, I feel like.
Definitely not. I mean, Michigan this week, they're playing against Ohio State, and they've got like two or three guys, I think, two or three of their best players out at like Canadian Nationals, I believe it is. And then they've got more people even, I think, in a couple weeks. They'll miss like the GLI and a couple other weeks. But can you imagine like Aiden Hutchinson or something like leaves to go to
right? Hockey's so weird, man.
Football. Yeah, it's just so different.
There's so many levels that I don't understand. Like yeah. I didn't grow up around the sport really, and it is to the amount of levels that guys play at in different things, man. It's mind boggling to me. I've tried to understand it before, and I literally just can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, everything about it is much different than the other college sports, but. It's still, yeah, Michigan definitely having a good hockey season. They'll be a good team this year.
So getting back to basketball a little bit, another thing that at the end of the day, Devontae Jones showed a little bit of flash at it at times during, and he had a pretty good run against Minnesota, but yeah. There isn't really a guy on this team, Scotty, like last year, Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner were these guys. There really isn't a guy that when the offense breaks down, can just go get you a bucket. He can beat his man, he can get to the rack, or he can hit a pull-up jumper, or a tough pull-up jumper in someone's face. I don't think there's a guy right now that can really do it. I think Caleb Houston could be a guy that does it if he becomes a little more consistent, though I don't know if his first step is necessarily quick enough to consistently beat his man off the dribble. There isn't a guy that can do that here this year, and sometimes in basketball you just need a guy that can go get you a bucket, and it doesn't have to be manufactured through running through the offense.
Yeah, that is such a crucial key to a good team, and you're right, they just don't have it this year. I think Mike Smith last year was so underrated. I mean, he had such a quick step and could get around his defender and get to the hoop. I think that we took his scoring ability for granted. Like you said earlier, he's a good 3-point shooter too. And Devontae Jones just doesn't seem to quite have that scoring element and that quickness too that Mike Smith had.
Someone, I think a guy that maybe could get there as well is a guy like Frankie Collins, because that dude's first step is unreal fast. He's a great facilitator, but I'd love to see Frankie get to the rack a little bit more, hit a couple pull-up jumpers, you know, set a guy up with a little hezzy and pull up and hit a three. If he can add that to this game, I think this Michigan team could go places, because that opens up an entire new element to the offense. We just haven't quite seen it yet, though. He runs the offense very well. He can get penetration, but he's always looking to kick, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, he really could be that guy for Michigan. I mean, it was really cool seeing it against San Diego State, being inside Chrysler, because the fans were just so fired up when he came in. He gets immediately a really nice driving layup and then gets a steal and a dunk. I mean, he had an immediate impact on offense and defense. I think that he, by the end of the season, and probably pretty soon, is going to be the guy at point guard.
I think he would have to be, you know, and I can't imagine Juwan is going to be a guy who's too stubborn. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not working at a certain point, you got this, all these talented freshmen, all these top 50 guys. Sometimes you might have to let them go play. You know what I'm saying? Like, turn over the reins to those guys and maybe, you know, get Hunter Dickinson in better spacing situations and things like that. But to me, it's still the biggest key for me is going to be figuring out the rotations and how to handle Diabate and Hunter Dickinson. Because Dickinson played 34 minutes, Diabate played 32 minutes against Minnesota, meaning a majority of the time they were out there on the floor together, and the offense at times gets super stagnant when it's like that. It's a lot of just throw it into Hunter and either let him go one-on-one or wait for the collapse, and then they move it around, but Diabate's on the other block, and, you know, he hit a couple of threes in the North Carolina game, looked pretty good, but I don't know if he's going to be able to hit that shot consistently.
Right,
you got to figure out a better rotation with those guys. Maybe a Dickinson Davis situation. You know, I think obviously Diabate is a much more talented player than Austin Davis, and probably deserves more minutes than Austin Davis had, because especially rebounding, Diabate is unreal at it. But if the offense continues to struggle, it just doesn't matter, and they're just not getting enough stops.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to have when you have two players that are so talented like that, but when they're on the floor together, kind of don't gel well. So it is a tough issue because they both do deserve a ton of minutes. But I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, if it's not working, then it's not working. You got to do something to change it. And I think that this next stretch is crucial for Michigan. They've got Southern Utah, Purdue, Fort Wayne. And then the road game against UCF, that will be a tough game. I think that actually really works out well for Michigan, because two tune-up games, or at least I hope they're tune-up games, against Southern Utah and Purdue, Fort Wayne. So got to figure a lot of stuff out in those two games. And then you still get a good tough game on the road right before you get back into the Big Ten play to get you ready for that, before going on the road against Rutgers on January 4th. So they've still got a few weeks before they get back into the thick of Big Ten play. And after that, it gets real tough. So I hope that they can get it figured out in this stretch.
Man, but that's the thing too, right, is they had a nice top 50 win against San Diego State, went on the road and absolutely ran Nebraska off the court. And you're like, man, Michigan's finally putting it together. You know what I'm saying? And then they got out to an early lead against Minnesota, and then boom, you know, the second half happens and everything, all the goodwill, all the work seems to have just been wiped away. So Even if it feels, you know, against Southern Utah, Purdue, Fort Wayne, that they've turned a corner, I'm just not sure they're ever going to hit that point here this year. I need to see it more consistently, and I just don't know if all these pieces necessarily mesh together.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, it's going to take even if Michigan looks great these next three games, even if they look great against Rutgers, I mean, that would be four straight really nice performances. And then Michigan State comes to town. And, you know, I wouldn't be convinced of anything seriously being changed unless Michigan can pull out something like they did against, like, San Diego State or Nebraska, against a team like Michigan State or Purdue or Illinois. any of those teams. I believe they have all three of them in a row after the first Big Ten game against Rutgers. So
yeah, they've got Michigan State at home, Purdue at home, on the road to Illinois. I mean, that is just and right before that, they have to go play at the Rack in Rutgers. Like Rutgers just knocked off Purdue there.
Yeah.
Michigan could theoretically, there's definitely a 1-5 start to Big Ten play in play here.
Oh, 100%. It really, I mean, you look at the Big Ten schedule. I mean, if they're not winning at home against Minnesota, I mean, those are supposed to be the easy ones. So, I mean, if they don't get things figured out, like I said, it's going to be a long Big Ten season.
I think it could be, and hey, we'll see. Maybe they can get it turned around. We know there's a ton of talent.
Oh, yeah,
it's just all about meshing together. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, like you said, they could get right against Southern Utah, Purdue, Fort Wayne, maybe figure a couple of things out before they get into Big Ten play. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. That's about going to do it for us here on Brewcast here tonight. Scotty, I'll let you let the listeners know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you guys can give me a follow on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_. Still got a little bit of work left to do on the football season over at Mason Brew. And I'm also covering the basketball team. So I'll be at all of their home games and writing articles, tweeting about that. So you guys can give me a follow there on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_.
You can follow me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiardi. And if you're a fan of the show, follow the Brewcast Show page at Brewcast Show on Twitter, giving you updates about the show and a couple of tweets here and there, tweeting out the show in case you miss it as well anytime in the future. But you don't have to ever miss it. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, leave a review. We appreciate all the feedback as well. Make sure to subscribe to the Mason Brew YouTube channel as well, because we will be going back to some live shows coming up here as we get closer to the Michigan-Georgia college football playoff semifinal. That's going to do it for us on Brewcast here this week. Appreciate you listening here. And again, subscribe, rate, leave a review. We will appreciate it. For Scotty White, I am Luke Giardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.